This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. Welcome, everybody. We are today, the 6th of June 2017, and it's our 24th meeting of the ICANN Ombuds Office subgroup on the Cross Committee Working Group on Accountability Workstream 2. And it's today call. It's a longer call than usually. We are planning to have a 90 minutes call because we will be reviewing as a main topic the draft report signed by the reviewer of the ICANN Ombuds Office, and I think that we will need some time to be able to discuss that in depth and to see what are the next steps. And I will go very quickly to the first part of this agenda. Then we will take the roll call from the Adobe Connect room. If there are people just online, just on the phone line, they are not on the Adobe room, can you tell us that now? Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for being all in the Adobe Connect room. It may be easier to follow what will happen today. Then the agenda is, I will go quickly to the participations, and we will spend the most of our time to the external review of the ICANN Ombuds Office with a presentation of the draft report and a discussion around with comments, question and answer. And hopefully we will allow the reviewer to have a better document at the end of this call. And hopefully when they will publish the final report, and we will discuss about those next steps and any other business. Thank you. I just go quickly to the participation. As you know, we cancel some of our meeting to deal with this review and to be online with the publication of the document. One important change since last time is that, as you know, Mathieu Vail left AFNIC, and he left also the co-chairing of this CCWG, and now it's Arnon Carter who is following this subgroup. I hope that he will take time to come to one of those meetings, but as you know, starting in the middle to take all the responsibilities that Mathieu have, it may take some time. And thank you for the one who participate to a lot of those calls. It's very appreciated. Okay, now I guess I will give the floor to Phil. We didn't prepare too much, but I think that it's better if Phil, you can give us some information about the document. But before I give you the floor, I wanted to know, and really it's to help this meeting to go to be useful for all of us. Can I have an idea of who were able to read the whole document? If you can put a green tick, it will be very appreciated. And I need to put one. Thank you. Good. And now, if you can clear your status and tell me who we'll have some comments on the document, or who know that they will have comments on the document. After all, they will be able to talk. It's just to have an idea of how we can better organize the meeting. If you can put a green tick also, if you know that you will have some comments now. Okay, thank you very much. And I give the floor to Phil, please. Go ahead, and thank you for having you today on this call, and thank you for the report you sent us 1 week ago.
Thank you, Sebastian. I appreciate your comments about making the document a better document. We're conscious that our knowledge of ICANN is still pretty patchy and certainly not up to the standard of the people on the call. So we're sort of looking for advice and assistance with all of it here, and more than happy to make the document more fulsome, more accurate, and so on as we go through. So very happy to do that. It's quite detailed, it's probably better that I don't sort of step through the whole document the whole way. I'm happy to sort of do a page turn through if that works for you. Are you happy with that, Sebastian, as a process?
Yeah, you can tell us some. Not the construction of the document, just to give us the big pieces of the document. And then what I would like to suggest is that if there is any, I don't know how to say that, overarching or comments about the old documents, we start with those one, and then we go to a page-by-page discussion, if you agree with this process.
Okay, yes, I'm happy to do that. The bottom line, really, from our investigation is that there's a wide range of expectations from the community about what the ICANN Ombudsman can and should be doing. On our analysis of the environment and the sort of position that the Ombudsman holds and the types of complaints that come to the Ombudsman. And probably one more factor, and that's that people who are considered part of the community are not registered or don't pay dues, or that there's no in or out test for people to be part of the community, and that also changes the flavour of what can be reasonably expected of an ombudsman in this environment. I'm hoping, Cheryl, that I'm a little louder now. I've just rearranged the speaker at this end, microphone at this end. The report structure really spends a fair bit of time setting out the environment, because our recommendations are not radical. We've suggested, you know, really half a dozen key ways in which we think the ombudsman function can work better, but we think it's probably not far off what it's possible to achieve from it at the moment. Other people can decide whether they think it's radical or not, but we don't think we're throwing all the cards in the air. This is a set of recommendations around refining the remit and the way the ombudsman function works. And largely that rests on needing an understanding of the environment and then how that maps to what an ombudsman can and can't do in different settings. So we spent quite a bit of time stepping through some of the background around both the ICANN environment, but also what ombudsmen can do and what different models of ombudsmen can do in different environments. So in the contents page gives you page 2 just gives you an idea of the overall structure of the report. It's not complete. We'd like to get this sort of round of feedback under our belts before we invest in extensively in a sort of an executive summary and in particular polishing up the recommendations to make sure that they are going to fit the environment from the point of view of people who are closely involved in ICANN. The process that we followed is set out on page 3, and we'd like to thank everyone who was very helpful with getting us documents, the background documents we should read, data, helping with getting the survey online and arranging interviews, which people gave very generously of their time, both at ICANN and on the telephone afterwards. The survey gave us better results than we'd hoped for in terms of spread and depth of feedback, but I think you'll agree when you look at the results that there's quite a spread of views there in terms of people's expectations of what the Ombudsman can do. We did some research around work that the first Ombudsman had done, some of the currently published material about how Ombudsmen work from around the world, looked at a few different standards as part of our background, and some of that is included in the report, not because the report hinges on it in particular, but because it's important that in choosing to evaluate your own Ombudsman for your own environment, you understand what the options are in that space. Now, we've had a chance to test our ideas with the subgroup and with staff, and this draft is step 7 in our exercise, so we're almost there, we hope. I think probably the key recommendations are in 5 areas or so, I guess we'll get to those, but on a page turn, the important things that we thought was to tackle that issue of managing expectations head on, so some work to clarify the role and clarify how processes work. One of the things that's evident once you pull apart the number of complaints in the ICANN environment is that they are quite different in style and dynamics and the amount of money involved, if there is money, and so on. So we think the best way to clarify that is to get quite practical and specific about the different types of complaints rather than trying to have generic language that spreads across everything. We thought that the standing and authority of the Ombudsman came in for quite a lot of criticism from stakeholders, and while the Ombudsman was satisfied that people play by the rules and are cooperative with anything that the Ombudsman's office has been doing, it's clearly not the impression out there in the minds of people who've responded to us. So we think that's an area that needs some strengthening. You might argue that's a matter of perceptions rather than realities, but in a large community like this, perception is critically important. A critical piece in that second grouping of recommendations was around the issue of decision-making powers. And clearly some people have an expectation the Ombudsman will be able to set decisions aside or replace decisions. We didn't think that that was in fact likely to be the case. And in any event, it would depend quite heavily on the particular dynamics of an individual complaint as to whether, what the Ombudsman could possibly do in that space. The third dimension that we concluded was the apparent independence of the Ombudsman again comes in for some criticism, and we think that's something that can also be comparatively easily strengthened. And we've made some recommendations, which we can go through later, around giving the Ombudsman some advisory resources that can that have more expertise in that space that can provide a system of guidance and accountability for the Ombudsman, that it's very difficult for the Remuneration Committee to do, you know, absent any expertise in the area. Our fourth area for change was around transparency, where we think the work that Herb's currently doing can be built on to bring the Ombudsman up profile, up higher than it has slipped in the last few years, and to make it clearer to people what the Ombudsman does and the value add that the Ombudsman brings to the overall environment. And then finally, we think there are some issues around a number of the non-dispute roles that people would like the Ombudsman to complete, and we think a policy sort of establishing some parameters for that would be a wise way to go forward. So we can talk about all of that in detail, but I think I will stop there, Sebastian, unless there's anything I missed, and return to you for a moment, and then perhaps we can step through from page 5 where the slide is at the moment.
Okay, thank you, Phil, for this summary of your document. I would like, before we go page by page, know if there are people with what I call overarching issue or something who is not just dealing with one page or one paragraph, but more with a global global question. If there are any, I would like to be sure that everybody can speak. I have some. Then if nobody else, I will jump in, but I would prefer to give the floor to others. Okay, if not, I will start. One of my question and sometimes difficulty to get along the document is that I have difficulty to try to differentiate when you are talking about the ombuds as a person, the ombuds as a function, and the ombuds as an office. And I think this document will be clear if first we can have a page where you explain what is the difference between those three and maybe others, but those three different definition of ombuds, ombudsperson, ombudsfunction, and ombuds office, and to see if we are really talking at the right level throughout the document. And when we will go page by page, I hope that I will be able to point some of those issues. Second question is that there is nothing, and it was not in your scope of your work, but it's something maybe we need as a subgroup to take into account one day or another. It's the question of the budget. Who is defining the budget for the ombuds function, how it is done, and I think it's one part of the possibility or impossibility of the independence of the office. It's how the budget is set up for this specific function. And is it the right level for this organization? That's my second point. And my third point is that do you think that with the Ombuds office plus the complaints office now set up within the ICANN staff, do we cover the full range of structure, issue, need of ICANN? And that's something that could be useful to have your inputs on that. And maybe when we will go through the discussion, the document, we will be able to raise some of the question dealing with that one. I see that Asha raised her hand, and I will give the floor to Asha, and then Phil, I will give you back the floor. Asha, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Did you want Phil to address your 3 points, which I thought were really very spot on? Did you want him to address those first and then come to mine, or maybe I can just ask my question and then Phil can address all of them together?
Yeah, ask your question, Asha, please.
Okay. All right, Phil, thanks so much for this brief overview. I had meant to ask you this last time, but now you've been very, very clear this time about the half dozen or so key ways that the ombuds function can work better. Did you have, and I apologize if you did mention this, but I wanted to ask in terms of priority, in terms of those five or six areas that you highlighted, would you care to venture an opinion on which would be more important in terms of priority? Which areas do you think would be of benefit for us to work on first? Thank you.
Okay. Well, perhaps I'll answer that while it's on my mind, and I'll come back to Sebastian's. I mean, it seems to me that the I think I'll just get those up for you all. I'm sorry about that. I'm jumping into the middle of it, and I'm not expert at Adobe Connect. Look, I think probably the number one I would count as probably making the most difference to the overall framework, but it's unlikely to catch anyone's attention. I think the things that people will pay attention to are number two and number three. Some beefing up of the standing and authority of the Ombudsman and strengthening the independence. I think people will understand that and it'll be the headline, such as there is a headline. I think it will be the headline change, I think, because it's a little more black and white and tangible. But in many ways, the longer term most important thing is for people to have reasonable expectations of what the Ombudsman can do, so that their role is valued and there is much less chatter about how the Ombudsman is either, has no power or is too weak or nobody pays any attention to it or all that kind of gossip. And I know that's hedging my bets a little bit, Asher, I'm sorry, but I think that's the right answer, is that ultimately an ombuds function that is well understood is going to be sustainable over a long period. In the first instance, in terms of restoring some confidence, I think the recommendations under number two and three will get people's attention more, and I think there is a need to have a little bit of theatre around relaunching the Ombudsman function, and that they're the areas that would give you some room to do that.
Thank you, Phil. That's very helpful. I had pretty much guessed that you had ranked them in that order, but I wanted to get your feedback, so thanks.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And just to go to Sebastian's, I mean, I think his point about the confusion over function and person and office is absolutely welcomed and taken well. Deborah and I got confused over it multiple times as we were sort of writing. So I think a definition page is an excellent suggestion, and we'll then be able to sort of work our way through and make sure that the language is consistent everywhere. If anyone has suggestions about terminology, happy to accept suggestions also. The second point Sebastian raised about the budget, how it's prepared and how it's approved, that's an excellent proposition. Typically that is a part of the independence criteria for ombudsmen when they're being externally evaluated. You know, one of the key measures for an ombudsman's independence is that they can set a program of work which is, you know, provided it's reasonable, is accepted, and they can then operate with independence without having to worry about if they're going to offend anyone who can tighten the purse strings or take away funding. So that is a good point to pick up, and we'll make sure we incorporate that into the next version. And I think the third one was one that exercised our minds. We have a tentative understanding of what the complaints officer will do, and what the scope of all of that is, and we have not had a chance to really firm that up. We've spoken to Krista a second time and looked at the comms documents that have come out about her role. We will put there is a little more sort of text we can wrap around that in the revision, but it's probably still a bit of an open question as to whether that's covered all the bases as between the ombudsman, the established review processes like IRP and whatnot, and the complaints officer. So very good question. I'm not sure we'll be able to, you know, answer it with sort of full authority in the second version. I think that's because it's still an evolving role. So I might leave
okay, thank you,
it
Phil.
For now. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. I think good answer. And what I suggest, it's we go page by page. I will suggest that I will run the meeting and I will move the page, and like that you will concentrate on listening the question and answering the question and not bothering you with the administrative things. I am here for that, and if you are not agree with me going from one page to another, just tell me, but I think it's better. I suggest to do that if you agree with that. But first, any other comments on the overall issue or on the paper you want to make before we go page by page? Okay. If not, let's go to, just to be sure, you made some changes in this page here, with some comments from Lars. I will not give you during this call because it will take too much time, but I will send you some editing. But I have one question on this page, Lars maybe can help us, or Angie can help us with that. But the number 8 report provided to ICANN and the ICANN board, I thought that this report was supposed to be provided to the Workstream 2, to our subgroup, but to the Workstream 2, and with that, our subgroup will publish a report. This report will be sent to the chartering organization. Oh, we will publish the report as a subgroup. It will be sent to the full group of the Workstream 2, and after 2 readings, it will be sent for comments and then changes, and when it's done, it will go through the chartering organization, and then at the end, it will go to the board. Is there any intention to send this directly to the board? I have no trouble with that, but I need to be to know how we will work around the document. Once again, maybe Lars can help us with that. And then, depending on the answer, maybe some changes in this 8 will be useful. Lars or Angie, have you any inputs on that? If not, let's go, and we will come back. I have noted that as a question we have to work out. Okay, Angie.
Hi, Sebastian. Yeah, this is Angie. I just want to restate the issue, the question for Lars. The number 8 item reporting the report provided to the ICANN and the ICANN board, whether that be via Cameron Ralph or via the Workstream 2 subgroup, I think is what we're looking for clarification on. Is that correct, Sebastian?
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Sorry, thank you for repeating that, Angie. Sebastian, my understanding is that it's a two-pronged approach, but I'd be really more comfortable if Lina was to answer, but I think she had to jump off the call. My understanding was that it goes to the board because it rebates. There's an ATRT2 relationship here, but it also goes to the TUP team for their consideration. So, and to the workstream too. So I'll get you the correct answer with feedback from Lina as soon as I can on this after the call. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Lars. My understanding was ATRT2 give us a job to do, and there is no any more ATRT2 link, even if at the end of the work the ATRT2 team will have to take that into account on board. But never mind, I will be happy to have an input and to be clear on what are the next step, because I am in trouble if we go through two paths for this document. Because if it goes to the board, it needs to go to a comments before, and we are not intending to have a comment period for this specific document, but to include it in our report as a subgroup or Workstream 2 and as a Workstream 2 report. But happy to have clarification on that. Lars, go ahead.
Yeah, that will definitely clarify, Sebastian. This is Lars. You might very well be right about the ATRT2. I do not want to say that that is not the case, and that's why I'd like to clarify. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Phil, you see that not everything is easy, and just one sentence can have some discussion. Okay, let's go to...
Happy to be guided on that. No problem.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then let's go to next page with contents. ICANN environment. Lars, you are still your hands up. It's two comments here. Or it's okay. Thank you.
From my point of view, Sebastian, we just want to make sure we weren't insulting anyone here. It's often quite difficult to very briefly summarize, somebody else's environment. So, again, more than happy for people to suggest a wording here that might be more accurate.
Yeah, I have few comments on that. It's... Yeah, my first point is that I am struggling against the use of the word international too much. International, it means that we are talking about international organization, and we are not, we are global, multi-stakeholder, blah, blah, blah organization. Then the word international, when it can be changed to worldwide or global, it's better, because very often we talk about international organization as a United Nations organization. And my second point is that when you talk about, at the end of your page, common North American models of ombudsman, you really think about U.S. and Canada, or it's broader than that, and Australia and New Zealand, eventually UK, are the same type of model of ombudsman, or it's really a North American one?
It's dominantly North American. In Australia, New Zealand, UK, all the countries in the UK, Jersey, and so on, there is more range of ombudsmen. They have government ombudsmen and so on, but far, far fewer corporate ombudsmen. So internal ombudsmen are comparatively rare in those other parts of the world that I'm more familiar with. So they are much more likely to have decision-making powers and so on outside of North America.
Okay. Thank you. And in the point six at the end, some aspect of standard and policy are highly technical. I will say that they could be also highly legal, highly economical, and other are more value-driven. I think you talk about more social or more political. And I think even if we are a technical organization, we deal a lot with economics and with legal also, and it might be useful to change a little bit the sentence here.
Okay. And so for values, you were saying political also.
I will send you something in writing, but it's just
Great.
To give the possibility to to other two comments or to come to the discussion. Okay, another comment on this page. Let's go to the next one. Any comments? Okay. If no comments, let's go to the next page.
Just for things where we're describing the ICANN environment, we've had one conversation with Herb, you know, sort of at a high level about some of our ideas, but the invitation's there for Herb for anything that, you know, in the level of detail when you read it again that you pick up, by all means, just shoot us an email or a phone call. We're happy to pick those up. And I'll try and speak louder.
Yeah, that's better, Phil. You are closer to the mic. It seems to be better. Yeah, definitely, and not just Herb, but if other have some comments by writing after the call, it's important that we do that now. The page 9, my only comments is that you need to define ADR. You know by heart what it's mean.
Of course, yep.
I don't, but people who will read that will not. And just to let you know, in Europe it's used for ACOR, for dangerous goods by road.
Okay.
And it's not what you want to meant, even if it's an interesting definition. But now it's important that you put at least the first time you use an acronym that you put the spelling out of this. Okay, let's go to page 10. Okay. Page 11. Okay, yep, I have the question of the complaints officer, but you will work with Krista on that. My only comment here, it's about independent review process. It's that Center for Dispute Resolution is a US-based organization, and I think it could be useful to indicate that in this document. Okay, page 12. In the last sentence, I think you need to write what is this two roles you are talking about, because in the previous page you were talking about five or six.
I'll do that.
Oh, sorry, you were with 6 points somewhere, and or 5 or 6 points, and now you are talking about two of them, and it could be useful to say which two roles you are talking here.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting diagram. May I suggest that in this one, and maybe with the help of staff, maybe Lars can help asking Patrick, what is his name, Colson something, to design something with specifically how the current new function and way of integrating the ombudsman is working with the other processes or with the processes to show where is at the start, when he's asked to intervene at the middle, or when it's at the end. A diagram could be very useful for explaining more easily your last sentences.
Okay, yeah, I think I understand that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I am sorry to do a monologue. I hope that in the next page you will have some inputs. On that, I have one comment. It's maybe it could be useful to talk about one who respond, and the respondents is just one part of the community. But I know that we expect that those one represent the community, but I am not absolutely sure. It's more the people who knew about the ombuds or who knew about our work, who knew about, or who deal with the ombuds in previous years, than a real picture of the overall community. Even if, and that's good, some region like Latin America have done a great job, and I think that Alberto, thank you for your work on that, to pushing people to answer in Spanish. Even if we just get 3 answers in Spanish, I guess others were able to answer, and it's why your region is the one with more participation. outside of North America, and I really think that your inputs and job was very important for this feedback. We must have done that in the other region as well. Okay.
Yes, we did have a look at some data to try and get a picture of the proportionality of the response to the survey, but it's a very fluid community you have. It's pretty difficult from the data we saw that to pin down what proportion of the community would indicate they were associated with which region. So,
yeah, I understand, but my point was maybe to say somewhere that we are dealing with a respondent who were participating to the survey, and it's maybe a little bit different on what we could get if we go to interview a much broader range of participants of the community. If we go to an ICANN meeting with those questions and ask the people in a corridor, I am not sure that we will get the same type of answer. It's the one who answers the questionnaire.
Yeah, they self-select. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Then let's go to next page, page 16. Okay, I don't have any comments. If nobody else, well, let's jump to the next one. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to assessment page. This page on page 20 before to go to the assessment, it's something I would like to come back, not specifically to this page, but to be sure that you take into account this two additional role, and I would like very much to have your point of view specifically about these two additional roles. Is it good to try to include them, and how we can include them into the Ombuds office, or we need to find another venue to do that? Because you will see in the discussion for the next page, I get trouble to understand what you were talking about, if you were talking about these two additional role or about others, other roles possible. But I have no specific issue on this page.
Okay,
let's go to assessment. Okay, here I have, but we will not spend time on that, but I need to come back to you, Phil. There are sentences that I have trouble to understand, and I think maybe it's Australian, American, English language, or it's something we need to polish to be more understandable. But we don't need to spend time on this call for that. On this diagram, I have just one question. It's on the internal organization. As you say that it's funded by CEO or board, why at the last column reporting to the CEO, it's not all the board. because if it's funded by the board, it may be reporting to the board and not to the CEO. It's a question mark.
Yeah. Look, I'll just, it just needs to be expanded. I mean, under the heading of remediation powers, it's small r reporting to the board, to the CEO. Sorry. So the power comes from bringing an issue to the attention of the CEO, and then the CEO using their powers. So I'll expand the language to make it clearer what we're talking about there.
Okay. I go through, of course, if any of the participants want to jump in, please do so. I have the impression to... I don't want to steal the call. Yeah, I just suggest that you put the name of the first ombudsman because, and write the first ICANN ombudsman, or to write the name, but something to be more clear. Who are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, now here it's, we are page 26. In fact, the first column, it's coming from page 24. And it's not exactly the same.
Okay. Well,
then may I suggest that you don't rewrite, or maybe this one you can, but maybe not. You just put the 1, 2, 3 and what it's in bold, and you say that it's coming from the page 24. But at least you need to be accurate between page 24 and 26.
That's a good suggestion.
And you will see that I will do the same in the later. You have another document where you take another page where you take these two columns, and you add a third one. Then we will talk again on that later on. Okay, imperative for change. Any comments here? On this page, my only question is about the last sentence. When you talk about individual matters, you talk about one file or one single issue, or one single complaint, and the complaint can be done by an individual, a people, a person, or by a group of people, or it's really an individual matter as individual, as an individual, as a person.
Generally, we would, I'm just racking my brain here, Sebastian. I mean, in general, we would talk about one matter in a sense. It wouldn't be essential that it's a single person involved. It could be a group. I'll make a note and double check my language there to make sure we haven't made a slip. But in general, we would be talking about a matter, a single matter.
Yeah, it was also my understanding. It's why I think it's important that you use the right word to talk about that, even if we can understand that it's better if it's a single matter or whatever you will say in English. Okay. Now, this page, design consideration for new functions. What are those new functions you are talking about? Is it the two about diversity and DRDP, or it is others? It could be useful to specify what you are talking about or what you intend to talk about, because at least I got some difficulty to be sure on what you were talking about.
Okay.
At the end of the first paragraph, you have also your individual matter. I would like you to, on the second column, after the fourth, you have at the end of the paragraph, but establish some principle to guide this and I guess on future decision, but to put that in bold, because I think it's a very important sentence, and maybe our group will need to work out something after you give us your final report to do this part of the work as a work stream to issue in the next few weeks after you give the report. Or if you consider that it must be done by somebody else, just explain who must be in charge of establishing those principles.
Okay, I've got it.
Thank you. I guess you already have these comments about governors. What do you mean by if it's a member of the board, member of the committee of the community, whatever? It's useful to take maybe some wording we use within the ICANN, and we are not too much used with governors wording.
Okay.
Now let's go to recommendation. Second column, the second paragraph, although not essential, we also think that there will be advantage if the ombudsman is a trained mediator, as was the second ombudsman. Here it's why one of the reasons I asked you about the person, the office, or the function. Here, it seems to talk about a person, but from my point of view, what it's important is that within the ombuds office, you have a trained mediator. It's not the same as asking the head of the office to be a trained mediator. Or you want to say that, and then maybe you need to be more spot on, said the head of the ombuds office must be a trained mediator. It's up to you, but you, one or the other can be done, and your inputs will be useful.
Okay.
And
my way of answering it, I think you're quite right. It should be the office, not the person in that case.
Yeah, it's my feeling too, but it's your report. And then you talk about, for example, in the next paragraph, the second line, we have suggested the addition. You may have write that after you wrote the next pages, but you are suggesting, or we are suggesting, or we suggest, because we have suggested, it seems that we may go page before, but in fact, as we are now coming to the recommendation, it's the first time you make this recommendation.
Yep. Got that. Thank you.
And it's on all the paragraph on this page.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And the last sentence is the same. To set up the policy, to set out the basis for any such role, who must be in charge of that? Is it us as a sub-team of the Workstream 2, or it must be somebody else? I don't know if you answer that in this page or in the following ones, but it's something I would be useful for us to have your input.
Okay.
Asha, please, sorry for the delay, to give you the floor.
Thank you, Sebastian. Can we scroll to the area, to the page where you talk about the trained mediator? I'm sorry, I know we're in that page, on that page, but I wanted to zoom in on that section because the font is really small. It's on the right-hand side.
If you click on the four arrows just on the top, you will have it will be bigger because it
yes,
will
okay.
take the, your whole screen.
Yes, I got
it's
that.
Just a
okay.
little trick.
Yes. Yeah, it's still very small for me, but it's okay. I've put it now on my bigger screen so I can see it better. I wanted to ask you, Phil, about what you meant here, and I know I heard Sebastian's question about whether it's the ombudsman himself or herself or whether it's the office. And did you really mean trained mediator, or did you mean a trained and experienced mediator? Because it's one thing to be qualified as a mediator, but it's another thing altogether to be experienced in that field.
Yes, I mean, we had wanted to be flexible in that space because this is not a field where there are thousands of potential candidates. It tends to be fairly rarefied skills. We didn't want to so tie it down that it looked as if the only person who could possibly apply to be an ombudsman was someone who had been a mediator for many years. The important thing is I'll change the wording. The important thing is that the mediation that the office of the ombudsman or the function has access to strong mediation skills. Now, in some cases, someone that you hire and they do some mediation training would be able to do some mediations, but obviously there would be others that were complex or particularly difficult or involved many, many parties where you would go seeking expert mediation. And that's a special skill. And you're probably better off, since experience, you're better off to hire that in as, because they come along fairly rarely, and it would be expensive to maintain a someone of that standing in-house where they might go months or years between substantive mediations. So I think probably that there could be a mix of that for the function. Clearly, if somebody who had both training and experience as a mediator and otherwise suited the role came along, You know, I think that'd be terrific, but I don't think you would want to structure it to assume that. So, look, I do need to explain that and be clearer.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. So I have a little different view. And this is, of course, your report, and I would not, tell you how to write it, but at least where I'm from in Asia, we do have more mediators than mediation cases. So there is an abundance of mediation skills. What there isn't an abundance of is a mediation experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say this from a position of experience, because I am a trained and experienced mediator. So I'm in my arena. I can see what's happening in the market. So I don't want to tell you how to write the report. I just wanted to. This is really very much related to Sebastian's question, which is, if the office is meant to have the experience or the skills, then you wouldn't have that restriction of being only able to look amongst experienced mediators for an ombudsman. So that's why I support Sebastian's suggestion about making it broader, making it the office rather than the person. Then you can pick and choose the skills that you wish to have. But it's just from my experience, the mediation skills, it takes 5 days or about 7 days rather to take all the courses and to take the exam, and that's it, and then you're accredited mediator. Having the experience to be as a mediator is a different ball game altogether. So it's one thing to have the classroom skills, it's another thing altogether to actually have done it before and be able to handle actual disputes. But I'll stop here. Thank you.
No, I accept that. Actually, I think that's quite right. Yeah.
Thank you, Asha. Let's go to next page. Here again, Phil, I suggest that you, the first column, you just leave what it's in bold, and you refer to the page 24. The first column is coming from page 24, the second from page 26, and the adding column, it's one, the more important one. Here, I have a few comments. First, the title recommendation. You miss one letter. And then on the second, establish Ombuds Advisory Panel, elder statesman, experience, or former ombudsman. Once again, it's my feedback. We are a multi-stakeholder organization. If you need to take ex-minister from states and not other people, with good knowledge, or we will be in trouble. I understand your idea about the Ombuds Advisory Panel. Maybe you need to enlarge where the people can come from, and not just former ombudsman or elder statesman or state person. Okay. And my second comment on this part is that the last its term, 5 plus 3 years, it's not accurate with page 39, where you say 5, including 1 year of probation and 2 years optional. They need to
no problem.
To be accurate.
What was the other page, Sebastian?
39.
Okay, thanks.
And here also you talk about ombudsmen, ombudsman, ombuds. We do prefer to use ombuds or ombudsperson, but ombuds it's enough. But you have all those, and for outsider, if you start to read why they talk about ombuds one time, ombudsman, ombudsmen, and so on and so forth. And you may wish to revisit the wording here.
Sure.
Next page. I guess the A, B, and C governance community cooperation, it's a, when you are talking about it, it's a complaint against those three groups, and not coming from one of those three groups. It could be maybe useful to explain it a little bit in your document.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, no other comments here, just the reviewing individual matters, the second frame could be useful to be revisit. And next page, interesting, page and quite easy to understand. I have just one question. It's that when you talk about the community, you talk about this dispute between ICANN groups. Do you mean ICANN groups, form groups like SO, ACs, and so on, or it could include groups with no standing? I don't know what I can take as a very bad example, but hope that I will not shock anybody. But a group of women against a group of men, is it something who can be included? Or a group of Spanish speaker against the others, or whatever, then it's not a form group, but it's a group who gather and who do something together. It's a question.
Look, I took it to be small g groups, so not formal groups necessarily. So I took it to be the broadest definition of groups. So it could be a group that has only formed at a particular event, or as you say, a group of Spanish speakers, or anything else. That seemed to be more consistent with my understanding of how ICANN operates than to attempt to define formal groups only. There may be the complaints from a formal group that might fit into some other category, but we were really looking at a pretty broad definition for this third grouping.
Okay, maybe you can think about how to put it. As it's become clear that it's not. Okay, next page. Here you have really a full range of ombudsman function, and you need to revisit in with the question: or is it the office? Is it the function? Or is it the person? It will be useful, for example, the last, not the last, how do you say, not the last one, but just the previous one, the second line, it's a skill set for the ombudsman. Here it could be useful to say it's the ombuds office or whatever.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And on the previous sentence, you talk about the ICANN's website. I understand that, but it's maybe important that it's published on the ombuds website and with advertising or announcement put on the ICANN website. I think the ICANN website, if they need to have everything from everybody, it's more and more complicated to go. And what it's important is that it's published and advertised or announced by the ICANN main website.
Okay. All right.
Okay, here again, you talk about elder state person. I will not make it again, but I have one more fundamental question. It's that if we want to have an independent ombuds advisory panel, who will select this group? You may not give an answer, but you may put a sentence saying that a decision must be taken. Who will select those people? And we as a work stream to subgroup, we can work on that. Or if you have a suggestion, put the suggestion. But at least you need to show that you had thought about that and decide not to answer or decide to answer.
Okay, thank you.
I am not sure about what you put into brackets. We understand not the last one, but the previous one paragraph. I am not sure that it will change something if the board create a new committee for the rest of the how we organize the office of the ombudsman, because it will still be a board committee, and a board committee is a committee with only board members. Despite my struggle to open some of them when I was board member, it's not the case, and I don't think it will change anything in your proposal. But once again, it's my point of view. And on the last paragraph, it's here, you have 5 years plus 2 years.
Yes, I'll fix that.
Okay. No comments on this page, other functions. On the third paragraph, you talk about, it's here. Yeah. Three possible avenue. May I suggest that you put these three avenues in three bullet points. I have really trouble to see where the three are, and with bullet points it will be easier to understand.
Yep, good suggestion.
And once again, it's three reviewable. When you talk about he or she, once again, you talk about the person, you talk about the office, or you talk about the the function. Here you talk about the person, obviously, but is it what you meant, or?
Okay, got it.
Okay. 9 minutes to go. I don't quite get the point number five. It should be my comprehension of English, but we may need to discuss that off call and maybe to
yep.
Change a little bit. And here, you talk as a example DIDP. I understand. Maybe in this page or somewhere else, you can tell us what is your feeling about the proposal about diversity, if you wish so.
Okay, we'll do.
And I guess we are at the end of the document. I don't think we need. We will go through. Here I have. That's attachment and the review. Here, for example, in this one, you have, when you talk about GNSO, in the first frame, you have NPOC with one or two Cs. I guess it's the same organization with just one C.
Oh, okay.
We'll go through those pages if you have any comments. Okay. Interesting comments, and sometime we need to take them into account, take them on board. I guess we are going to the end of the document. Yes, we are. Okay. Any additional comment, question? I have one additional question at the end of, I put two, three questions at the beginning. I have a fourth one is that did you consider the question of having, as we have today, in fact, in-house ombuds, again, the possibility to have an external office? Some organizations just need to have an ombuds function and they give it to an outside organization. Ombuds, we are doing different work for different organization. Did you think about that, or you think that we have since the beginning of in-house and it's okay like that, and we don't need to rediscuss this issue?
First I'll take that as a suggestion to cover the issue in the report, which I'm happy to do, and then just very briefly, we'd think about whether that was doable in this environment, and we concluded that for ICANN, because it's a community, because it's a highly unique environment, that unless the ombudsman was closely, and I mean the ombuds function, was closely tracking and involved in the doings and current issues of ICANN, an external ombudsman would be hard to keep on top of the issues. Often external ombudsmen are law firms, or professional mediation firms, and they usually need, because they're not they're generally not closely involved in the community and the issues, they usually need to work from constitutions or bylaws or documented rules and form a view about an issue from that sort of basis of information. So we really fairly early on thought that probably wouldn't work in the ICANN environment, but we should write that down in the report.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Any last comments from others? I hope it was not too boring for you to participate to this call. If we can go back to my slides, and I would like to thank Phil for your participation and your answer, and thank you and Deborah for the work you have done. We will go to what are the next meeting. And our next meeting will be in 6 days. Maybe it will be a shorter, it will be a 1 hour meeting, not a 90 minutes meeting. And the last meeting before the Johannesburg ICANN meeting will be the 19th of June. And the question is that when you plan to have a final report, because if it's on the 12th, do we need to keep this meeting, or do we wait for the 19th, or do we want to discuss other topics? I will raise this issue on the list, and we will decide. But Phil, do you think you told or you write us that you will send a final report on the 12th? That means that we will not have time to go through, but that's okay. You think that you will be able to do it for the 12th, or you will, after this discussion, maybe more need more time?
No, the 12th will be fine. We can turn it around for the 12th. Okay. Well, there's a couple of things we need to obviously to check. You know, some things with Herb, I think something also with Sam Eisner, I need to talk to you, Sebastian, about the extra feedback you have for me, but I think we shouldn't have any trouble getting it back to you for the 12th.
Okay, good. And I will ask the question on the list if we want to keep the meeting of the 12th, if we want to discuss other topics, and then the 19th will be useful to discuss the final report, and I hope that we will be able to have for the one who will be in Johannesburg to find a time to discuss. I must have not the answer. You will be with us in Johannesburg, Phil and Deborah, or you will not be there?
We're not expecting to be there. At this stage, we're still waiting for you guys to figure out what the process is from here, but we weren't expecting to be there.
Okay. Thank you. As it's the top of the hour, I am 1 minute late. Any other business? If not, I would like very much to thank you, and have a good day, a good night for everybody. Thank you very much, and the call is adjourned. Back to you soon.
Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.